Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Yeshua, tonight we come to receive, to worship you and love on you and to receive. If you know how to do this, I'm going to have you open your spirit to receive from him. Spirit, I saw like a almost like a whirlwind, but it was in slow motion. And then in it, I saw like Jesus doing a slow dance with a person. My beloved, before you're anything else, you're my beloved. Before you're a worker, a performer, you are my beloved. You are created for relationship. And some of you have turned that into performance. I love you anyway, but he says, I want you to come away from performance mode. And I want to teach you how to come into the bridal chamber, he says. Fellowship and communion with God. How did it ever become such a performance thing? says, I'm releasing you right now. I actually see cords coming off of some people who've been bound by performance and works and constant measuring of self. Jesus measured up in our behalf. And he will help us measure up, but it's through an outworking of something that happens in the inside. As we love on him, as we hug on him, as I'm releasing you. And some of you, I'm not going to allow you to work. This is kind of funny. You're going to have a honeymoon time where you're not going to be able to get away with all that performance stuff. I'm going to teach you, he says, how to come into the holy place and how to give the king a hug. How to be a bride. And there's some of you that are so stuck in performance when he said, I'm not even going to let you. Intellectuals in the room. You know, Jesus gave you your mind, and it is a gift to be used. But he wants you to subject that mind to the mind of Christ. He says, some of you, for too long, you've had your little clipboard when you fellowship with me. You got your checklist. He says, I love you, but sometimes we need to just fellowship. If you went on a honeymoon and you were excited to be with your spouse intimately for the first time, how would you feel if they brought the clipboard into the room? You would not like it, would you? Some of you would take that thing and fling it over the balcony. And well, you should. And that's how he feels. He says there is a time for the clipboard. There is a time for a business meeting and the signing of a contract, the understanding of the word. There is that time. But he said there is a time that is the most intimate, the most profound. Please stop measuring yourself. Please stop measuring yourself. You know, Paul said, he said, I don't even judge myself. And you know why? Because no human can honestly judge themselves properly. Come to me, I will help you. If you have a fault, I will help you. If you have an affliction, I will help you.
Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden,
and I will give you rest. Someone walked in here with a burden and it looks like it weighs a ton and you've been carrying it and it's like you're almost dragging it. And I saw it clasp around your neck, but it went way behind you. And I saw Jesus reach up and just unclasp it. It is not pleasing to me when you try to fix it yourself before coming to me, as though somehow you're saving me the trouble. No, that is not pleasing. What is pleasing is when you come and say, I can't really do this, God. Will you do this? Yes, I would be happy. So easy for me. Here, you're getting a new life, he said. You pretty much messed up the old one. And lately, this past week, these past few days even, past about 5 or 6 days, you've been sitting around looking at the travesty, really. You've been looking back at your life saying, man, I really messed this up. I don't even know what to do now. I can't even fix this. It's so mangled up. It's so messed up. You've been actually saying words like that to yourself, thinking, I heard the words, I don't even see an out. And Jesus said this, I'm so glad you finally noticed. Not just notice that it isn't what it should be, but notice that you don't have the ability in yourself to fix it. But that's why I saved you. I want you to know, he says, I am giving you a new life. And I want you to know that as you unhook and leave that old life behind, you're going to walk through some new doorways. But because you've finally seen with reality, you've actually looked through some real lenses this week. The real ones, not the fake ones. You know, we can look through fake glasses and see kind of what we want to see. But the person I'm talking to, you looked through real glasses this week and said, this is a mess and I don't even know how to fix it. And Jesus said, I brought you to that place so you will know that when you walk through these new doorways, you'll know it with me. That I'm going to do things that you will literally say, only God could have pulled this one off. Only God. And I'm going to rebuild your life, he said. And I'm going to rebuild it. And it's going to be a life not only worth living, it's going to be a life that says something in this earth. It's going to be a life that carries a testimony. It's going to be a life that releases God and the patterns of God into other people's lives, it'll be a life worth living. You have a destiny, but I had to bring you to a place where you understood not only what had happened, but that you didn't have the ability to do this in your own strength, because when I do it, everyone will say, look what God has done. He said, I am releasing your destiny right now. I actually saw a wind like, whew. Releasing you from your past. I actually see people's past unlocking. There's someone here you've gotten free from a lot of stuff, but there was what I'll call leftovers. And believe it or not, those things are actually visible in the spirit and tangible. They're actually, it's not an idea or a parable. There's some things that are real in the spirit that hold us captive. They hold us bound. You know, when he said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. It's real loose on earth. That's a real thing. That's not just an idea. There's actual bindings that happen in spirit. And we can help each other, can't we? Well, the Holy Spirit is releasing this one person. I don't want to call you out, but he is releasing you from some of the bindings of your past. You have a past that's worse than anybody knows. There's stuff in your past that most people don't know about you, and you've hidden it. And Jesus, you've worried that, does God still hold that against me? He says, no, darling, I specialize in redemption. And you've carried with you, this person you've carried with you like a hidden, almost like, forgive me for saying it, but the words I'm hearing him say is a dirty shame. You've carried a shamefulness. But no more, he said, tonight you're taking off that cloak. You're taking off the cloak of shame and saying, I don't have to carry this anymore. I see cloaks of shame. Actually, there's a number of 4 or 5 throughout the room that are being dropped. You don't have to carry shame anymore. Jesus has redeemed you, and that was complete. You were not just forgiven, you were recreated. And someone just said, but what about what I did since I was saved? He said, haven't you heard? When you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. take some of us to heaven. And I don't mean you're going to pass away. I mean some of us are actually going to go to a place where you've never gone in the spirit. Did he not say, come into the Holy of Holies by a new and living way? Come on in, he says. Someone, I don't understand this, but I saw gates swinging wide open. I heard the word verdict, and I saw a gavel swing down. I saw God's hammer hit the desk, and he said, done, removed, cleansed, forgiven. The blood has overcome. I heard him say, washed, washed and cleansed. And I heard him say, completed. No more, and he said, sorrow no more. Sorrow is being banished. He said, sorrow and sighing will flee away. There's someone here, you've been wallowing in sorrow way too many years. Sorrow has become your portion. It's been your life. You've lived it, drank it and ate it and breathed it, and it's been too long. And the Lord says, enough, my darling, my child, my beloved, enough. He said, I am banishing sorrow from your heart, from your soul, from your emotions and your life. You have not been able to do it, even with the drugs. And he said, I am doing it. I am doing it. I am banishing it. Say, I declare wholeness over you. There's someone whose heart has been just too long in the grave. I'll say it that way. Too long in the grave, too long in heartache. You know, it is okay to grieve. It is okay to have sorrow. It is okay to have feelings and emotions. But it's not okay for it to carry you forever, to hold you captive forever and ever. At some point, darling, he is saying, darling, at some point I want you to bring it to me. Lay it at my feet. I will help you to move on, because you have a life to live. You're not dead. You didn't die. You're still here. And I do have some things that are wonderful for you, but I cannot give them to you when you're so shrouded in darkness. Darling, I love you, but leave it behind. I feel like he's saying, today is your day. There's someone here, you're getting a new song in the spirit. And I'm sensing it's like a life song. You've had an old song that's been like your song for years. But God says He is giving you a new song. And even as spring comes, He said, as surely as spring comes, and as surely as you start to hear birds you didn't hear all winter, He said, that surely, I am giving you a new song for your life. And instead of a song of sadness and sorrow, I saw a song of joy come to your lips. And I saw you singing, looking out your window and singing this song of joy. And I even heard you say, it's too good to be true. That sounds too good to be true, but I saw it. Something I've learned is when God says something, it comes to pass. Now there's someone in here, and I know there's a number of people in here. And I'm not trying to be personal, but I have to go with what the Lord is saying. Someone in here, you lost some things through a divorce. It was very hard, and it's been a hard life and a hard thing to, you know, like, it's hard to start over sometimes. Because you kind of have to learn how to do life again. And the Lord said, we're starting over. And He said, I'm your spouse. And what do you understand? Legally, I'm your spouse. Now, I'm not talking about earth law, but heavenly law. He is your spouse. That I'm going to make a way for you, a new way. And it won't look like the old way. It won't look like the old way. He says, I'm releasing you from some old things that kind of tried to follow you, old ways of thinking, old expectations. You know, sometimes when you have your focus on the way it was, the way it's supposed to be, you know, especially if you're kind of strong-willed, trying to be gentle, if you're so focused on the way that you think it's supposed to be, you cannot hear what God is doing next. So that's why He comes along by the Spirit and He breaks us out of our past. Because He doesn't want us stuck. You know, sometimes a person can stay in a thing stuck for years longer than he wants. Did you hear me? Because we're actually, without knowing it, we can actually resist His will without knowing it. You can lose years being stuck in your ways. Because when you're stuck in your ways and you're headstrong, you'll miss what He's trying to say. I just saw someone lay down this heavy, like almost like bags full of sand. They were just heavy burdens that you don't need to be carrying. Heard again the words, it is a new day. It's a new day. It is a new day. Old things are passed away. And so don't stay stuck in what we did before. Sometimes when there is a season change, I am beckoning you and calling you to come out of the old so you can even understand and hear and see what the new is. Even if it's something I told you to do that was good, there can be a season change. A true life of the Spirit always has seasons. Jesus had seasons. There was whole vast years where he was not ministering because he told his mom at the wedding, "It is not my time yet." There was a season. And it's up to us to perceive the season that we're in. And right now the body of Christ is in a season shift, but most people don't know it. Okay? But there's also a lot of individuals in personal change and are actually resisting God while telling me how obedient they are. And I love you, but I'm just telling you, it's because we don't recognize that there's a season change. And God can actually tell you to do one thing and then come along later and say, "Okay, that was good. Now we're going to do this other thing." And you can actually resist him because you're so sure, "But you said this." "Yes, I remember." "I recall that, yes, and that was good, and you did that. But now we are going through a doorway into something new." And this is, if you're a person of the Spirit, if you're a person that is led by the Spirit of God, and I hope you are, because the Bible says those who are led by the Spirit of God shall be called the sons of God. Why? Because they will be like the Son of God in that they will follow the leading of the Spirit wherever they go. So we won't always understand what they do in the natural, will we? Sometimes what they do will seem like, "Well, that doesn't make sense." But if they're hanging out with him and he says, "Here we are shifting a season. Here we are closing a door and opening another door." And so if we resist him because we're so sure that what we're doing is right, it probably was right at one time. But when the season shifted for Jesus, overnight he went into an open ministry, didn't he? I mean, he went to the 40 days in the wilderness, and then wham, he started, I mean, every day. I mean, once he walked out of the wilderness, it's like they were thronging him. There was miracles. It seems like he didn't get to stop to breathe for 3 years, did he? He was in a brand new season, and if he wasn't perceptive to the timings of God, he might have stayed in the old season. Or worse yet, here's what a lot of people do. They say, "Well, I'm called." And so they just start going and it's not time yet. And so there's failure. And they say, "I don't understand why there's failure." Well, there's failure because you weren't perceiving the times of the Lord. You can be called, but it's not time yet. You can be called, but not perceiving the timings or the preparation. And if you push into it in the flesh, you'll just make a mess and have problems and open the door to the enemy, which you don't want. God's trying to help us understand how to tune into what he's doing in this day. You know, there is a time to stay hidden in God. And then there is a time to go out in public. And you need to do the one to do the other, but only God knows the season. And I'm just sensing there's a whole lot of, I'm seeing revolving doors in this room, like where, you know, it looks like, do you ever see a revolving door? Let's just say a bank building. And a person's so sure that they're supposed to be inside that they're stuck in this door and they keep trying to go back in and God keeps trying to push them out and they keep trying to go back in. And this person I'm talking to, you have a good heart and you want to be obedient to God, but the problem is, you're not perceiving the season change for your life. To everything there is a season. Turn, turn, turn. It's everything under heaven. What if Jesus had not perceived the time? He knew the time when he was supposed to die. He knew the time. What if he had resisted that? What if he said, "Well, I think I'll go another year. I think I'll minister for another year. I think I'll hang out here somewhat longer." No, he was perfectly obedient to the seasons of God, whether it suited him or not, whether he wanted to or not. Not my will, but thine be done. And it is because of that that we have all the blessings of the Lord, because he would not yield to the flesh or the enemy on seasons. He would not yield. And I'm telling you, I could point you out, but I don't want to do it. There's someone here, you are walking in, you're walking out of what has been a long siege in your life, and you have seen frustration, you have seen failure, you've seen attack, you've seen problems, some were of your own making. God is not the least bit mad. He is pleased because here you are right at the door. And I see him saying, we are done with that. And I am building a new life for you. And I'm not asking you to do it. I'm telling you, I'm doing it. But what I am asking you to do is pay attention to me, he said. Keep focused on me. Keep your focus on me so that you don't miss what I am doing. And if you keep your focus on me and walk in me and just stay with me, just stay close, the day will come when you'll look back and you will be amazed at how much we, you and me, he says, have accomplished. You know there's a we in the Spirit. Did you know that? If you get close enough to God, you kind of join with his heart to such a degree that it's not like I go do something or he does something or he even does something through you. There comes a place where it's kind of we are doing this. Because your heart can become conformed to his heart, where you no longer are living for your desires and your deal and your business and your, you know, ministry, whatever that is. You're no longer living for that. You're living for his heart, for what is pleasing to him, whatever his whim, if he has a whim today. And when you live for that, he can change the plan in right in the middle of it. And it's like, okay, we're doing that now. And you are not dismayed or hurt because you're not so married to the world and married to your plan. Ooh, boy. If you get so engrossed in your deal and your plan, you're going to have trouble. Because the minute it becomes a little too important, he'll kind of shake it up a little. And you say, why are you shaking it up? Because I'm trying to help you do something better. And I don't expect you to understand it. All I expect you to do is walk so close to me that you say, oh, okay, we're doing this now. I don't expect you to understand it. You're in the army now. And in the army, it's a different kind of army, but in the army, if you get a command from your superior officer, you don't go into discussion mode. This is not an option. Amen. And you don't question and you don't argue, but you say, well, sir, I just really feel like we should do it the other way. Oh, yeah? Have you heard of the brig? Now, see, God's not like that, but God is, you know, the problem with us is we don't really believe that he's smarter than we are. Some of you still think that you have a better plan. You don't. And you know what happens when we live according to that, our own deal, our own plan, and we do it long enough? What happens is we'll see it fail, and then we come back, and that can cost you a year or two, right? Or four or eight. And then when we fail utterly, and the whole thing fails, and we come back to God and say, I don't understand, why didn't you bless me? Your word says you're going to bless me. Yeah, and I want to, but guess what? It's not over there, it's over here. Forsake your plan unless it is his plan. Divorce yourself from your idea, your big idea, unless you know it's his idea. The sure way to success every time is to dump all your plans on the floor and say, what are we doing, God? Reinhard Bonnke said it the best way, the best way. And there was a guy that did amazing works in this earth, amazing. Nobody had ever done, to my knowledge, what he did to the level that he did it. Nobody. I never heard of anybody that did it to that level. And I heard him say, I was in the same room with him, and he shared this. He said, I knew that if I had a plan, my plan could fail. But I also knew that if I could reach through the plans of man and hook into the plan of God, his plan cannot fail. God knows what He's doing. And if you have trust issues, pray until they are gone from your soul. Because trust issues, that means, I hear Him, but. I hear what you're saying, but what about this? I hear what you're saying, but what if it doesn't work out this way? I was with somebody the other day, and they were literally, you've heard me talk about a hand wringer, hand wringers, they're fretting. But this person was literally wringing their hands and fretting out loud, fearing and fretting. I got to actually call them a hand wringer. But do you see what that is? First of all, what that is saying, God, I don't really trust you. Are you really going to come through? Well, think about that for a minute. Didn't we just call him a liar? Is God not bigger than all our silly stuff? Is He not bigger than every building, home, house, mortgage, fee, bill, doctor, medical issue? Is He not bigger? And has He not given us promises? And what we do when we say, I'm worried that you don't really know what you're doing, or that maybe you're not going to come through me, or some garbage like maybe I'm not good enough. Of course you're not. He promised it to you when you were not good enough. You don't ever earn it. He already did that. Get that straight. Pray till you get this. Because when you have that in your soul where you're fighting against God, you are opening the door for more thrashing from the enemy. And so, the slow way to learn this is to make your own way, do it your own way, be headstrong, tell God you know better, push your way into it, and then fail miserably, and have a broken heart, and get clobbered, and then come to God, oh God. And you do that enough times, hopefully sooner or later you get it. You say, you know what? If I would have just come to you in the first place and let go of my idols, listen, take your idols and take them out just like Josiah. And you burn them, you break them, you trash them, you bury them, you jump up and down on them, but you get those things out of your life. An idol is anything that is more important to you than the will of God. Get that thing destroyed. You say, even if it's ministry? Yeah. Because God calls us to die to self in order that we may carry His glory and power and presence. And only a dead person can carry resurrection power. Only someone that has died to self. Paul said in Philippians 3:10-11, that I may know Him and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable to His death. What a thing for an apostle to say. What a terrible thing. He said, that I may know the power of His resurrection. The body of Christ goes around saying, I want to walk in the glory, and I want to walk in healing power, I want to carry revival, but won't die to self. How will you carry it, even if it were to come? Our frame, our humanness, our flesh stinks, and it can't carry that stuff without cracking. You'll break it, or it'll break you. You'll mess it up, or it'll mess you up. We've seen it again and again. That's what happens. People get too close to it, and then there's a problem. We have to die to self. And I'll tell you, when God calls you to die, and I'm not talking about physically, okay, if you're new here, hallelujah. But Jesus said, if any man would follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. This from a man who would die on a cross, which the cross was devised as a torture device. It was designed to prolong the agony of death. That's what the Romans were about. Why would he say such a thing? When you feel like someone's driving the stake through your hand, whether it's the enemy or a person or a situation, think carefully. What is he trying to do? Is he trying to get you to die to self and say, you know what, it's okay. I'm all right. It doesn't matter where I live. It doesn't matter what kind of car I drive. It doesn't matter about the bills. None of this matters. What matters is that I am able to carry your presence. What matters that I am able. Because listen, if you get to be one with God in the Spirit, if you become a carrier of the presence because you have died your own deal, you become a vessel. In Timothy, it talks about there's vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And I knew about those scriptures for a long time before I saw the link. It says, if a man will purge himself, he becomes a vessel of honor. You don't have to stay stuck being a vessel of junk. You don't have to stay stuck being a vessel of that's got addictions and pornography and drugs and all kinds of problems. You don't have to stay that way. And everybody in here has had stuff. I'll say past tense. You know, hallelujah, I'm being positive here. But you know the truth. You know, every one of us has to deal with stuff in our soul. We have to deal with stuff and junk. And you know what? If we can get it out, if we can crucify it, it becomes an avenue for Him to use in power and glory. No matter what it was, if it was a crummy attitude, if it was a judgmental attitude, a critical spirit, no matter what it was, it doesn't matter if it was a so-called big or little sin, if you can get that thing out of there, if you can get rid of that trust issue, if you can get rid of fear, spend time, if you don't pray in the Spirit, I'm just going to say it, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Because when you do, the Holy Spirit is making intercession through you for the perfect will of God to be released in your life. And the more you do it, the more you will morph and change and be transformed. You'll always be presented with choices and you still get to make the choice. He will never make you. Do you hear me? He will not make you. You say, oh God, change me. Well, that's a dangerous prayer. Because He can't just go, okay, poof, you're better now. No. He died for there to be a grace upon you that you can choose, but if you choose wrong, that choice will be yours. And He is loving enough that He'll bring it around again. How about now? No? Okay. Well, how about now? No? Okay. How hard do you, He used to say to me, now we can do this the easy way or we can do it the hard way. Easy. See, I used to do it the hard way. I used to do it the hard way, and it is not fun. Got clobbered. But once you get the system of God, of walking in Him, I'm telling you, and this is, I believe, why the apostles walked in what they walked in. I believe they went through some stuff, and they had left everything behind. They weren't still holding on to things. They left everything behind. They understood the concept. See, we want all of Him, but we only want to give Him half of us. I want all of you, but I'm just going to give you half of my heart. I want all of you, God, and all that you got. I want to move in great power, and I want to have all this great stuff, but I'm only going to give you this part of my heart and not that, this situation in my life, but not that, this part of my checkbook, but not that. I'm going to give you this kid, but not that kid. I'm going to have my kids as an idol. My kid. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you how it is. Can family be an idol? Yes. And we need to put them on the altar. You can still pray for them and you can still love them. But listen, don't let anything own you. Don't let anything own your heart. I started to say, when you go through the death process, if you choose to do so, if you're called to ministry, and I'm talking to somebody who is, there's someone here, you are called, and you know you're called, and you've died to some things, but you're still holding on to certain things. Listen, you can make your process easier. You can make the trials shorter, or you can make them longer. And how you do it is, say, what are you dealing with in me? What are you trying to show me? How am I resisting you? Because sometimes we get headstrong, because we think we know best. I tell you, God had a hard time getting through my head, because I was so sure. He had given me visions, strong visions. I knew they were from Him. I never questioned that. But, you know, a vision can be a parable. And did you know you can take a parable and make it whatever you want? That might not be what He said. Come on. And I was so sure He was saying A, B, C, that when He started saying X, Y, Z, I couldn't hear Him. You know why? Because when your mind is made up, you can't hear something different. I'm talking to somebody here. This isn't everybody, but there's someone here. You're obstinate, and you know you're obstinate. Did I just really have to say that out loud? So embarrassing. But that kind of thing causes years to be lost. And I'll tell you the honest truth, I don't think we've got so many years. I mean, we don't know. But to me, it seems like the great windup, you know, feels like to me. You know, He keeps giving me the scripture, night comes when no man can work. Work while it's day. If ever there was a time for us to get it together and serve God for all He's worth, it's now. It's now. And I'm going to tell you something. When you start to encounter the glory of God, when you start to be able to walk freely in heaven, when you start to be able to go instantly, I'm talking about it's a practice, it's a lifestyle where you spend time in Him until you just go. Okay? God wants that. And how do you do it? You know, the old joke in our ministry is how to get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, practice, practice. How do you go? You just keep going. How do you go? You just keep going. How do you go? You just keep going. You pray and 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 you pray. And you keep banging on the doors of heaven. Because eventually it'll come to a place where it's just what you do. It's who you are. It becomes your identity. It becomes who you are and how you do stuff. And when that happens, you never go anywhere alone. You never face any situation alone. Now, in legality, you don't anyway. He said, I am always with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. But you don't always, if you're not walking in this way, you won't feel it, you won't perceive it, and you won't hear Him. But you can come to such a place of oneness with Him, one in the presence, where you really can't tell. Does it mean you're perfect? No, your flesh is still your flesh. But in your spirit, man, you can have a unity with God. And He desires to do that because He wants to pour through your physical body into the earth. He doesn't have a lot of time. He is the one urgently saying, I want you. I want you in completion. I want all you got. I want everything because I want a vessel I can use in the earth. He needs a mouth that will speak. He needs eyes that will look, ears that will hear. He needs a human body. He has chosen not to do it. He could. He's all powerful. But He has chosen to work through humans. And can we not see that the people who are being greatly used are greatly dedicated? If you listen to the teaching of someone who's being greatly used, and you keep listening to them, sooner or later they will talk about how much it cost them to get there. But was it worth it? Oh, way more than worth it. Because when you begin to encounter the glory and the presence, all this stuff on earth that earth claims is so great and so fun, and it's like trash. It's like cheap plastic junk. This is nothing. All this is going to pass away. And we step over, we're going to be like, I wish I would have done so much more to deal with this issue. I really believe it. I really believe we may step over and say, man, I wish I would have done more. Not works. I'm not talking about works. I wish I would have pressed in to be changed into somebody He could really fill, really work through, really talk through. Someone, I wish I would have pressed in until my faith was so strong. I wish I would have pressed in until the Word was a part of me. The Holy Spirit was my best friend. We still get a chance to do that. We still have time. We still have an opportunity. I feel like God is, this is like one big fat altar call. I'm not going to call you up here, but I feel like God is beckoning and calling with everything He's got, saying, how much do you want? There's no limit to how much I will give you, except what limits you have in you. We were talking about this the other night in Elgin, where our soul, you know, it says, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. In other words, in proportion to or in relation to the condition of your soul. Think about it. Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. There was nothing, no impurity that Satan could get a hold of to mess with Jesus. Nothing. He had no authority over Jesus because he didn't have anything in Jesus. You hear me? There was no idols. Jesus didn't have any false belief systems. He was truth. Can you see what I'm trying to say? Your soul is not the same as your spirit because the Bible says the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. The Word of God can separate. In your understanding, you can become clear between your soul and your spirit. What does that mean? What about your motives? When you have a motive, was it really holy? I want to be used in healing. Was the reason holy? Or did it come from your soul because I want to be considered great? Come on. Your soul is really your flesh. It's your mind, will, and emotions. And if that isn't purged, what did I say about Timothy? If a man will purge himself, he becomes a vessel of honor. What if we pressed into God until we got rid of every access point the devil has? Now, how do you do it? One at a time. How do you do it? One at a time. You say, God, what do you want to deal with in me? You know you have issues. I've had hundreds and hundreds of issues. God wouldn't let me sit here if I hadn't dealt with a whole bunch of them. And I came to God, I had so much baggage, so much garbage. And then, even after I was born again, I really messed up. I walked very poorly, very stupidly for a while, some years. Well, that's even harder, because now you come back to God and you got all the garbage you went out and got. You know? So I had to come back and deal. And I'm still, I've been dealing with this for years. I'm talking about years I've been in process. What do you want to deal with in me today? And all of a sudden you say something, you go, wait a minute, that was crummy what I just said. And conviction comes. Why? What is in me that caused me to, because out of the abundance of the heart. Yeah. Where did that come from? Uh-oh, do I have an issue? Okay, Lord, what is that? How'd that get in, and how do I get it out of there? And you pray, and you deal with God, and you pray, and you deal with God, and you get the junk out. And when you get it out, here's what happens. Now the devil has lost that access point, so he can't use that anymore. Because listen, when the devil has right, it's because it's a legal right. You hear me? We need to deny him legal access. We need to deal with the stuff in our soul. Stop trying to fix everybody else. Just deal with your stuff. And don't get condemned over it. Everybody's got stuff. Come on. And Jesus, I know you've heard me say it 100 times, but in Hebrews he said, he has forever made perfect in the Spirit those who are being made holy. Okay, so while you're on the way, he calls you forgiven. So don't get into condemnation. But at the same time, don't give place to the devil, the Bible says. Don't give place to him. Don't let him have access. If you have anger, deal with it. Don't feel condemned over it. Just spend time with God. Keep going after it. How'd that get in there, Lord? What's the hook? How'd I get that? Help me deal with it. I want you to free me. And you know, it may take a little while, but sometimes he'll take you right back to the day that thing came in. God's trying to free his people because he wants to show himself strong. He wants to reveal his strength in the earth through his people. He wants to show the glory and the presence of God through his people. He wants to heal people. Yes, on the streets. He wants to bring true revival. He wants that when you speak, the power of God attends your words, where people know there's something different. You know, remember when Jesus would talk, they see he doesn't talk like other people. He speaks like someone who has authority. Remember? And the Pharisees would say, how does this man speak with such authority? He didn't go to formal school. He's not one of us. How does he have such authority? Because he had authority from heaven, because he hung out with the Father. He'd become one with his Father by the Spirit. So he carried a punch in the Spirit. So when he spoke, everybody knew that's God. Something different about this guy. Remember the men on the road to Emmaus? They said, didn't our hearts burn in us? When he was speaking to us, we didn't even know who he was. We didn't get it yet. We didn't recognize it, but our hearts burned when he spoke. You see, because when you speak by the Spirit, anybody, I'm telling you, humans, even the ones who pretend they don't know, they know. Even the ones who pretend, oh no, I'm not moved by it inside, they're going, good, 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 and I know because I was one of those people. I was one of those people. In high school, I had a date with a guy who was a Christian, sold out Christian. And he spoke these words to me. He said, the scripture, he said, I would that you were cold or hot. But he said, because you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. Now, I was, too cool to admit. But inside, I was like, I never showed it on my face. Good actor. But inside, I was like, oh, man. That was a word from God, and I knew it. 15 years old, I knew it. See, when you speak by the Spirit, they may not show it, but I'm telling you, when you speak something, and what I mean by the Spirit is He will give you what to say, and you will say it, and there will be an unction on it. Okay? Some of you have been pounding on your spouse and on your friends, and you're trying to make them get saved, and you're trying to persuade them with your logic. Forget it. That very rarely works at all. What do? Keep your mouth shut. Go in the room, close the door, and pray. You keep bringing them before the throne. And when you get a release where you're like, oh, okay, it's time. Then you go out and you'll be like, wait, what did I just say? Wow, it just flowed out of my mouth. I wasn't even trying. And the Spirit of God began to speak. And I know because people in my family got saved that way. People who wanted nothing to do with that whole thing. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't like it. They thought I was weird. You know, because I got so turned on to God, and we just didn't do that in my family. They didn't want to hear one word about it. And so I just, okay, I'd go pray. And then God would just arrange it. And I'd be like, how'd that even happen? How'd that conversation even happen? And the Lord would speak, and they got saved. Multiple people in my family got saved because of that method. So stop trying to pound your husband into the kingdom. All you're doing is irritating him and making him think Christians are just, you know, pushy. That doesn't help. Just pray. And learn how to pray with power. If you spend enough time in the place of prayer, you become recognized in the places of heaven. Do you understand that? You can become known among the courts. You can become known to the angels. Your voice can become known in heaven. If you're not a person who prays much and you're always going to somebody else and asking them to pray this, you know. I watched Edgar. People would call him and he wouldn't spend an hour in tongues. He'd say one sentence, boom, but he said it in faith. He wasn't kidding. I have a friend that came to him. He was in his 20s, this friend. He came to Edgar and he said, you know, I lost my job. I need to know what to do. And Edgar said, what do you like? And he said, well, it's kind of strange, but I like big equipment. And Edgar grabbed his hand. He said, Lord, give this man a company working with big equipment and let it prosper. Well, of course, you know the end of the story. Why was Edgar able to do that? Because he had spent time in the throne room. He had spent time with God. He had clout in heaven. He didn't just wake up one day with a bunch of gifts. He spent time and time because he was so hungry and thirsty for Jesus. I pray that we get so hungry and thirsty for Jesus that we just lose interest in all the other nonsense. And I'm going to tell you, we're coming into a day, and you know it. You have Google on your phone, and if you do, you know all this stuff is in your face now. I used to, on purpose, not watch the news because I didn't want to be distracted from God. We open your phone, there's news in your face. Well, let me tell you something. If that becomes your focal point, you will enter into fear in a day when you should be entering faith. If you let the report of this world, because I'm going to tell you in a couple months, this is my guess, I think we're going to start hearing some pretty interesting reports, okay? And if you let that become your input, you will become a hand wringer. And, you know, it says men's hearts will fail them for fear. You have to retrain the way you think. You know, remember in Egypt, when God would have Moses, he'd like prophesy the plague and then he'd bring the plague, you know. But the Israelites were never touched. The Israelites, their firstborn didn't die. They had light. When all of Egypt was dark, they had light. Do you get that that's a picture? And if we don't stand in faith for that, if we don't, you know, don't get into fear, oh my gosh, we're all going to, you know. Begin to say, no, not at my house. Begin to quote Psalm 91 and begin to believe, no plague will come nigh my dwelling. No. And we need to begin to speak it, focus on it, because Satan's going to try to get your focus. He's going to try to get your focus. Okay? Don't let him get your focus. Somebody came to me recently and they wanted me to prophesy. They're getting ready to go to a bank for a big, you know, a big transaction. And they're, you know, worried. And they wanted me to hear from God to give them a comforting word. Everything's going to go your way. Well, guess what? I said this. I said, listen, I know you want a comforting word. But I said, this is what God wanted to know. His word, his written word, is a more sure word of prophecy than any human can ever give you. I said, his word, his written word, is a more sure word of prophecy than any word any human can ever give you. I can give you a little comforting word, but here's what the word says. No matter how it goes at the bank, God will take care of you if you keep your hope in him. Sometimes things go bad at the bank or at whatever, and we say, oh God, he isn't taking care of me. No, he's doing it a different way. Stop focusing on the natural. Stop it. That kind of stuff will kill you. Oh, I got a doctor's report. Okay, we have a higher report. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm saying you have a higher report. But which one you choose is which one you get. Stop wringing your hands. Oh, boy, this is hard. Begin to choose. Make up your mind. I will not believe the report of the enemy. I will not. You know how the enemy wins? This is how I've seen the enemy beat people who are trying to stand in faith. They say, no, it isn't. He said, yes, it is. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. I guess it is. That's what happens. And it is because they fainted. It says we will reap the reward if we faint not. When someone tells you stand on the word, what they mean is you take that word and you keep, because listen, Satan knows if he tests you enough time, if you're just doing it because Holly said so, or your faith preacher said so, that's not real faith. At some point, you make a gut decision, I will believe the word of God. It is true. I don't care what anybody prophesies. Sounds funny coming from a prophetic person, doesn't it? Andrew Womack said it well. He said, people come up and they want me to say, oh, God loves you. And if I say, oh, God loves you, they'll just be all so happy because I told them that. He said, but the word said that all the time. Why do you need a person? Because you don't really believe it. You don't really believe it is what it says it is. Listen, heaven and earth hang on the word of God. All things are held together by the word of his power. When heaven and earth pass away, listen to me, the word of God, we'll still be talking about the word in heaven. The word is actually what God has said is. What God has said is. And you get to pick if you will have what God said or not by what you choose to believe. And what you choose, not just to believe for 5 minutes, or 2 days, or 5 days, but deep down in your, pardon me, in your guts, when you say, I am not bending on this, Satan. And when he sees you won't bend, he goes, oh, okay, well, I guess I can't get him on that one. That's the truth. Because he will push you until he sees that you know. He will push you. He already knows you have all the authority. He's trying to persuade you that you don't, because he doesn't have any real authority. He's got to get yours. He's got to get you to give him permission. He's got to get you. Why does he work so hard to try to deceive you? Oh, I guess it's never going to get any better. Thank you, I just got your words. Thank you, I just got your permission. Come on. That's what he's trying to do. Because he doesn't have, listen, if he had authority, you wouldn't have made it here tonight. You'd be dead. So would I. He doesn't have authority. Jesus stripped him clean. The only authority he has is he can get something from a human. That's why he tries to use a medium, a person, tries to get you to be down in the dumps and speak the problem. Come on. It's the truth. It is the truth. Don't give him the fodder. Don't give him words to work with. Just don't. Get in the habit. It's a habit, and it takes a while to build it, but you can build a habit where you're like, nope, nope, it is written, it is written, it is written. He can come to your sleep. You're like, no, it's written. He hates that. I love it. I'm just trying to see if there's anything else. Now that I've beat you up for I don't know how long. I haven't beaten you up yet. I just feel like to cap it off, God is saying he has great things for you far, far beyond. He has great things for every person, far beyond what we have seen. We want to see the big hurrah, but he can hardly get us out of this little box. And then we get a little bit out of this box and then, you know, the next box. But he's trying to get us to a place. He's trying to get us to grow to a place where he can release things without limit and measure through us. That's really his plan for every believer, great and small. Does it mean everyone's going to be public? No, everyone's got a different calling. But I will say, God doesn't put limits or measures, but he is limited by us. Okay? So it's worth the time it takes to press in and pray until those limits are removed. Yeah. And it takes a while, you know, because you're really doing one at a time. And I'm doing it 40 years. I'm still doing it. I'll do it till the day I go home. Till the day I go home, I'll be saying, wait a minute, that's not right. Right there, I see that thing in my soul. That's not right, that attitude. Lord, hallelujah, help me. See, how did that get? And I'll work on that thing, and I'll pray on that thing, and I won't quit until that's gone. And then God will use me a little bit more. The flow will increase and increase and increase. Okay? It's a system. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? Father, I ask you to bless your children. I ask you that even when they go to sleep at night, that your spirit rest upon them and that you even speak to them confirmations and truth. Give them scriptures. Teach them as they walk in the way. Help them to walk in accordance with your plan. I pray that everyone in here come to the fulfillment of the destiny and purpose that you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.